And tonight, it's going to be a little bit different than what we've had before because we're going to take a special time for a few minutes and talk about our church. And now as we celebrate its debt and free, the freeness of debt, and I hope tonight be a blessing. There have been many people heard much about our and different places about our church and its history. But I want to say a few things. Some of you heard before, some of you hadn't heard at all. Some who's here have not heard it. We thank the Lord, Sister Joy, and she's given her time now to help us write a history of our church. And it's difficult because there's so much involved, we can't get everything in. And what a little bit, what we've written so far, we go back and miss some stuff and have to put it in there because if we're going to write a book on the history of our church, we want to be sure we get everything in that we can. Tonight, first of all, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless this. And I believe that you and I will rejoice together and you get an idea. One thing that people ask me, how do you know when God calls you to do something? Well, I tell you this, it's not a simple thing. Sometimes it can be very complex, especially when there's more than you as an individual involved, when you have your families and other loved ones who are looking on at the scene and don't understand the call of God. But one thing is for sure, don't ever step out of the call of God without willing to go all the way. And God encourages us that because in the beginning state of anything, it looks like a hopeless case. But God keeps His word. And I hope tonight you'll see something as we look at a little bit of history of our church and then have our note burning. And what we're going to do tonight is have one particular typed up note, which we will burn with the deacon or shred with the deacons at the end of the service and get a picture and we'll go into the paper showing what God has done for us. Lord, we love you tonight. And we thank you so much. As a young boy, been saved, 19 years old, desiring God's will, and then suddenly get in a spiritual maze, Lord, looking what it is you'd have me to do. And then thank you for giving me a good wife who wanted God's will after she was saved as much as I did, because without that, there's no way, no individual can do what God calls a unit to do when it comes to the home. And dear Father, tonight I pray you'd be, this would be a blessing as we rejoice in you. And maybe someone you're speaking to now about some type of service would see to it that even though it, during the process of following you, sometimes we just have faith. But then we look later back and we see how God so wonderfully blessed and honored those who honor Him by preaching His word. And I pray tonight you bless us together in this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to say before the church tonight, and I mean this, I thank the Lord for Barbara. When years ago, when God called me into the ministry and go to her and sit down and talk to her about why He was leading us. If you've never been there, you don't know the fear that comes to one's heart. The fear that comes to the one, first of all, that God is speaking to. He didn't come down and speak to us as an individual at the foot of the bed. He spoke more and more as you got in this book and you studied it. And since she did not know how God was leading until I began to talk to her and through prayer we prayed, and I asked her about being willing to stay the whole time through. Once we committed ourselves to the Lord, there's no turning back, and I believe that. I believe that. God may change my course, but there's no turning back. Because that's the worst thing in the world one could do, even though many times you'd like to do that. And so I thank Barbara tonight for going up, not giving up on me in the days that were hard. I thank her because many things that we heard from our families about, they don't understand why a young man who's just married, young boy, young girl, would step out, who had a great job, wife didn't have to work, and step out by faith to go to a place, not even have a job, not even be sure of an income. How can you explain that? And then things began to be said about me, my home. If I was a Christian, I should be. I wouldn't put my family in such a situation as that. Every once in a while now, a message, because we heard, can be heard all over the world with what Brother John has done with the network, but a lot of messages are preached. And I get letters, believe me, from sometimes they're very good, sometimes they're not. And someone will say something like that, you don't understand, you can't believe what so-and-so said about you. And I've always said this, and I believe God let us go through that for that purpose. I said this, no one can hurt me as bad as we were hurt years ago when I stepped out by faith and people on both our sides of our family said they thought that I was just a poor nothing because I didn't care for the family to take care of them. They had this concept that when you step out by faith, God gives you everything you need at that time, and He does. But you see, most of the time, needs are not needs, they're wants for people. And that's the way they look at things. And I'm so grateful tonight for that, Barbara, because I know there's no way that I could have made it without you. Now, I know God's there, but what you've got to help me, that's what it's for, a help meet. The men prayed with me tonight about the help meet and how important that is, and they didn't understand what I was going to be saying tonight for a few minutes. And so when we come down to Clayton, and God led us this way, we desired to go three places, give a primary, secondary, you know, the third, and the other two places you heard me say before, but Clayton was the place He led us to. We rode through this town, 1,800 people at that time, and God burdened our heart about it. How do you tell a burden? I can't tell you my burden. Because when God burdens your heart, it may be different. But I know this, if He burdens you, you'll know it. You will know it. And so we decided this is the place with God's help that we would come. Now I'm going to go through all the story, because that would be in the book a little bit later. And I want to just advance forward. You've heard me say many times, the first day we came over here, we started up Main Street knocking on doors, just she and I. Snow was on the ground. I'll never forget that. We started the latter part of 1967 as a mission. Then we advanced forward. We had two bond programs in those early years. We had one, both of them, for about $70,000. And they were also, we had a company to come in and do the bond program for us. They charged us 6%. We did the first one for the auditorium over here where the fellowship hall's at. We did the second one for where the radio's at now and part of the academy. We did both of those bonds. They were 7%, 7 to 8, I believe seven, a little better, seven or a little better percent. And we placed those bonds and had to pay someone to come in to help us with them. The only thing they did when they came in is it fixed the bonds, did the work as far as the bonds, and then we had to place them. They didn't help us to place them after the first week. So we came later as it's paid off and wanted to build this building. This building in 1985, at latter part of 84, where I had been in the years of my ministry and labor work and preaching too, I found buildings that I said, Lord, if we ever build a building, I don't build tradition, triangle, or T building for you. If we can ever build a building, I could build something that'd be a little bit different. And yet it honored you. So I began to get places where I'd go out of Virginia and different places, buildings in North Carolina and South Carolina, and I'd put little strips of things down or get little cutouts or draw something on a, I'm not an artist, but something on a piece of paper. And then one day, Brother Neil Wood, you know him, Brother Neil, who's a member of our church, he was a deacon at that time. I went to him one day and I said, Brother Neil, I have some thoughts about an auditorium I'd like to help me with. Had no idea we'd be building it here. But I like to have it in my mind, get it together, see what it looks like instead of pieces. He said, yeah, Bernil was with an artist, in fact, good draftsman too. So he took that, we sat down for a number of, I don't know, at least a few hours, and we talked about it, and he took all that together and took it home with him, and a couple of months went by, and he came back with a drawing. We made a few changes on it, and then he said that we can... He said, I'd make a model of that to scale. I said, well, let's do that. We didn't present this to the deacon then, board, more to the church. He made a little model to scale. And the only thing we got of that now is a picture that was taken to go in the paper. The company that built this building found out we had a model, and they wanted to borrow the model. And, of course, young, green, and trust everybody, I let the model go. Brother Neil talked, and I talked about it, and we said, we let it go, and they said that they didn't know what happened to it. It got that got it, and they got the mentions and things like they did, and we tried to get the model back, and they said, "Preacher, we don't know what happened to it. It disappeared. Maybe it went to heaven. I don't know." But anyhow, we could not get the model back. So then we presented it to the deacon board. I will never forget over here. We presented it to that deacon board that time. And those men were very impressed with it and very much energetic. Let's build it. And then we presented it to the church that this is the type building we're going to build. The first picture of this is this that we had. That's the floor plan. And we were just going to build the building first, the auditorium. Then we talked about, well, let's go ahead and build the back and build a one story. But now, you know, it's more happened to be more than that before it was over with. And we said, well, we want to raise the money just to build the auditorium at that time. Now, keep in mind, this is 1985. We said we want to build the auditorium. If you borrowed the money at that time, you still having to pay 8% or more. One time it was 10%. And so, again, I'd ask the Lord, so help me, folks, listen, I asked the Lord to help me do something spectacular. Maybe no one's ever done it. If they had, I didn't know about it. How could we, early one morning, how could we build these buildings financially and not have to borrow the money that is to pay interest on? And I got to thinking one morning, and so I had had our good relationship with Jim White, with First Citizen. The manager before he went there wouldn't even talk to us about money. He said we didn't have no collateral, had no way, but he wouldn't lend us $3,000 to build the roof tabernacle years ago. But after we got that bill, I met Jim White and talked to him. And Jim White's, we'd become fairly good friends, and so the day came that I wanted to present a new method to the church of raising money without having to put interest to it. So I went down to Jim at First Citizen, and I said, Jim, I've got a plan that I'd like to ask you for some information, not to do the plan, but some things I need to present to the church to show what we're going to do. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, we want to borrow some money. That time we thought it was going to be $300,000. As a matter of fact, later, well, I'll show that. And so we wanted to borrow the money, and we're going to borrow it through bonds, and we're going to borrow it from individuals rather than from one organization. And he told me, as a preacher, he said, I never heard of such before. I don't know if anybody going to do that. Not just people nowadays. Everybody needs money, and if they got money, they want to make money. He said, you're going to have to pay some interest. I said, well, I'm giving the Lord, you know, a chance. Hey, we always borrow the money later if it don't work. And so he said, what do you want? I said, I know that most people don't have $500 or $1,000 or $5,000, and that's how the bonds are going to be, $500, $1,000, $5,000. I know they don't have that kind of money, but I want to make it easy. Hey, if I wanted to come here to this bank and borrow $1,000, how would I do it? He said, well, you'd borrow the money if you had collateral, and then you turn around and pay by the month. I said, how do you do that? And he said, we keep a record of it. And I said, well, it looks to me like then that what we have, we could pass... Get people to say, if you want to finance so many feet of floor space, and that's what this was, after we got the method of doing it, then they could do that over a period of 12 months. And we'd set up a system in the office that where they wouldn't have to deal with the bank. If a person wanted to buy a $500 bond, they could pay about $20 down, $40 a month for 12 months, and they'd pay $500. And then the $500 would be paid back when that bond comes due. If you had $1,000, you pay $40 down, $80 a month for 12 months, and you'd be able to, at that bond come due, whatever date on the bond come due, you'd get your money back at no interest. And he said, well, that's simple. He said, I'll give you all the paperwork you want. So he gave me a folder full of papers and said, go through it. And I went through that folder, and I found the sheets and everything I needed and how to make the notes up. I found that just like a bank if you went to borrow money from it. And we came back, and that time I got with Betty, who was here, and we talked about typing stuff up and so forth. And we got it all ready to present as a package of how a person could literally finance so much floor space and pay by the month. And when they got the payment full, we kept the bond here. When it's full, they got their bond. And then from there, build this building. Well, need to say, some people, honest, they said, let's go ahead and borrow the money. And I said, please, let's give it a try. So we give it 12 months. Well, when we started it, we knew what we had to do. I went and found everything we needed. And we came up with a brochure like this $300,000. In this brochure was all the information that was needed that the state required that I found out that you had to have showing collateral, that you had enough collateral to take care of that particular note. And in this, it's interesting, you go back and had to give statistics to the church. And I was just looking this afternoon, it's interesting, you know, and from 1968 to 1970, our orphans run probably less than $10,000 a year. And I was salary on that, come out of that. Did you know in 1970 it was $11,400 that year? Then in 1973, it was actually about $53,000. That's after I went full-time or came back. And then in 1980, it was $88,000. Then in 1984, when we started this procedure, our offerings a year in 1984 went to $130,000. Isn't it amazing how God touched people's heart to give when there's a need to give, when we stepped out by faith to move in that direction. So we got this together that met requirements for the state, so everybody would have out front. In this brochure, we made sure that they understood in the inside, no interest on bonds occurred. When I wanted to make a bond, this one up, I went and found some bonds and we made one up. A real nice looking bond, like this, professionally. And this is what a person got with a number on it. When he come due, they'd bring the bond. And then the amazing thing about this is, though, that the bank did nothing. The bank's always afraid because one time the bank said in the 90s, we're not going to handle no more bond programs for churches unless you pay us $750 a year. And I got a call from Jim. He said, look, preacher, he said, we're not going to be handling all these things. Because there's a $750 a year. I said, wait a minute, what do you mean? You're not doing nothing. He said, I know that. He said, I told the boss, our church was handling everything. They had nothing. The only thing they did is put the money in the bank. That's all they did. And so then I said, well, listen, can I talk to Frank Holden? He said, well, I don't know. I can get you to Massengill. So I went to Massengill in Smithfield, had an audit with him. After he got through everything, he said, preacher, I ain't nothing I can do. He said, they come from the lawyer's office, the corporate office. There's no way in the world. If we keep these bonds for you anymore, that is the money. That's all they did. We did all the PR work here. Every bit of the work was done here. They were paid here. We sent the letters out, told them when they were due, come by the church, we'd have the check for them. Then I'd take that bond down to the bank and have it cashed and put it into account so it would take care of those bonds. They didn't do one thing. And Jim knew this. And he was very concerned the fact that he was going to try to charge us $750. 10 years, it'd be over $7,000. And so I went to Mr. Massengill. He said, no. He said, I can't do nothing about it. I'm sorry. And I said, well, who else can I go to? He said, the only person you can go to is Frank Holden. I said, well, I probably won't do no good. I bet I can't even get an audit. So he said, I'll get you an audit. So it don't do any good. I'll get you an audit. So he set an appointment up for me. And I went up there. Now, you're talking about a preacher who didn't have much of a church, felt intimidated when I walked in his office. A carpet knee deep. You had to wade through it, felt like. And they sat down at a long conference table, nobody in there but me waiting and waiting. And I think they let me wait just to intimidate. And then suddenly, he didn't come in, his lawyer came in. And he said, Mr. Ennis, I understand you hear about this bond. There's no way we can do it. Our corporation already has decided that we're going to do this. You see, what's happening is these churches are going under. Think the banks are the pen agents. And because of that, since we have the money, they're going to go to the bank and get the money. And they think we're the pen agent, and they think that the money's not in there for that bond. The bank's got to make it good, and that's the only way we're going to do it, is that we get a fee because it's making the banks have bad names. And I told him, I said, wait a minute. What do you mean? I said, sir, you got to understand what we're doing. Your bank's doing nothing but taking a deposit slip just like an individual. Go down and put the money in there. And he said, what? I said, that's all you're doing. What do you mean? I said, they don't even go to your bank to get the money. The bond comes to our church. The person comes to our church. We give the bond. We pay the check from the church. The bank doesn't write a check or nothing. We do it all. He said, well, I don't know another church is doing that. I said, well, I don't either, if not. But that's what we're doing. He said, well, let me go back and talk to Mr. Holden then. And so I left that day. A week went by and didn't hear anything. Another week went by and didn't hear anything. Then one day Jim called me and said, preacher, you won't believe it. They exempt your church on that $750 a year. You think God... See, there is a side of honesty, I think, that God honors that. And I think, thank God, the Lord knows I was afraid at that time. So what we did, we set up, it's going to run the $300 program. But then we got to adding to it, this Baptists are that way, and we ended up saying we need about $600,000, and when we finished, we needed $640,000. And $640,000 is how much it took to build this building. This building now, it takes, the last, there have been two buildings built of this, of these plans, just like ours, and it took, they were almost $1 million, and now that he says it's over $1 million to build these, this exact type buildings now. So we ended up having to raise the money at no interest. So we took this particular plot and made it huge and put it on the back wall. How many remember that? We had it on the back wall of the old auditorium over here. And it was divided up in four spaces, and there was 500,000, 5,000 blocks. And every time we had so many dollars come in, we shaded out those blocks. And we'd have the last Sunday of night of every month a rallying day to see what was happening. And there were some good times then, I believe, those days. There were some people who said, though, it's not going to work. And they came and said, "Preacher, let's go ahead and build a building. Let's borrow the money. We think we can handle that." I said, "Sir, let's wait. Give it a chance." And believe me, the town then got involved and God gave us a chance. Because the town wouldn't let us build because of that road out there. We had to curb and gutter and sidewalk that road out there to get it built. So the town stopped it, so we didn't need to have the money immediately, and gave God a chance to work out raising the money at no interest. And so what happened was, we'd put every Sunday night, like I said, we'd do that. After the first few months, Barbara and I were going out every week, talking to different ones, people in the town and so forth. And some people said, no. They were good people. They said, no, we're not going to put money in because we don't believe you're going to be able to raise the money that way. We believe that what's going to happen, you're going to be a failure at this. And therefore, you can't expect money, people to give money like this without interest. At least you're getting something back. But you know what happened? Before the end of that 12 months, we had people that came to us who said no, said, you know, it's going to work. We believe it's going to work. Therefore, we'd like to get on this. And we did. We raised the money beyond the 300 to more than double that to build this particular building. And it was 12-year notes. Notes coming due every 6 months. And they came bond one through the last bond. The person who had that bond at that time ended up getting their money back with no interest at that particular time. And so that's how this building was built. Then when the Lord came along later and talked and pressed the heart, we got a chance to buy the radio. And again, we said, "Lord, if it's your will for us to get that radio, then we want to get the money. We got all this indebtedness on it. Even though we're paying all principal, the indebtedness. So if you want us to get the money, we have to raise the money through bond or promissory notes." And we decided to look for promissory. We talked to Deacons about it. We talked about looking at promissory notes. We needed $170,000 to buy the radio, I believe. By the time we got through, it was $240,000 around that. Best I can figure are the ones that we had to place. And so God helped us place every one of them, showing us that he wanted us to have the radio. And so we paid. That's the only thing that we ended up having some bonds. In fact, our last payment just a few days ago finished paying the radio off. And that came from those. The church had some bonds in that, and the academy has some. And so, we voted to absorb those bonds to get the debtness off of the radio. Then this building over here came, which is a complex building. And we asked God to do the same thing. That building's about $500,000 in promissory notes. And we paid that off because that was more pressing than the radio due to where the bonds were at that particular time. And people who had some bonds said, "I don't need the money right now. Don't worry about paying me. I don't get no interest anyway, so just keep it. When I get to the point that I need it, I'll get back with you." And so when you look at all of these different things, we had... not counting the 140, 50,000 to start with that we had the other buildings, but we had in these three programs $1,380,000 that had expense to build these buildings. And according to that, at the time, with 8% was what most of these bonds would have been when we did this back in 85, and since then, most of these bonds, as we did the first one, that meant simply that this church saved somewhere in the vicinity of $1,325,000 in interest. 1.1 million, 1.300, $1,385,000 in interest. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way we could do what we're doing if we had to pay all that. We'd be still paying a lot of things. Do you understand what I'm talking about? See what God did because he was willing in those early days to trust him and wait. Now, this plan did not work if you needed it tomorrow. But it did work if you could plan ahead of time and saturate it with prayer and let God work these things out for us at that time. There's people in the town used to see me on the street and say, "Preacher, I want to ask you a question. How in the world do you do that? What's this I hear about you raising money and no interest?" I said, "Well, you know, God, we asked the Lord about it and tried it, and God just worked it with us." And they said, "Well, I don't understand that." I had some people from other churches stop me and say, "How do you do that?" And I showed it to two churches within this county and a number of other churches out of the state, this program. But it won't work if you got to have it next week. You got to plan it and then work towards that plan, and God would honor that. And they still didn't understand how we did it. And then one day I met a guy down at the post office. He said, "Well, preacher, I hear this thing about you, your church raising all this money at no interest." He said, "But you know what? I think the IRS is going to get y'all." I said, "What do you mean?" "Because they said they got a thing now that is proposed interest. You could have it." I said, "Show it to me." He couldn't show it to me anywhere. He said, "They come back one of these days and say this is potential interest. I'm sorry, potential interest. And therefore, if you loan money, that you'd have to pay potential interest on it because it didn't go through the bank." I don't know where there's any law that says that. Anyhow, thank the Lord, all that's gone now, and it's been paid off, and we don't have to worry about that at this particular time. So I promised the Lord years ago when we started out. Now, a lot of folks don't understand what goes on behind the scene. You think I just get up here and open my mouth and preach and works out? No, there's a lot of planning. There's a lot of planning. I told you about years ago, I used to make charts, study scripture. I have to have charts because I'm slow. I'm not artistic, but I'm slow. And years ago, here's what I started out. When God didn't let me take a church and want to start a church, my concern was, because I was a new person in the book of Acts, to try my best to find out this about a church, the programs, what to do and so forth. And this is the chart that I drew many years ago asking the Lord about the church. My base standard, the church from the book of Acts. And I've divided it in four categories. What is the function of the church? Sunday morning, Sunday evening service, Bible conferences and such, reproduction through visitation, prayer, teaching Wednesday night, and try to keep our folks that's inside the church growing in grace and knowledge. If you see this. And then I said, "Well, now, what are some things on the outside of the church are like hooks in the water to reach people for Christ?" And we started out these positions: youth program, track ministry, the radio. See, radio was here before we ever owned the station and before we ever got on the air. We was on two stations at one time. Buses. But Johnny, years ago, not realizing we'd ever have a bus ministry. I'm talking about something in the beginning stages. Shut in. One of the ministries years ago. All Sunday school classes. Academy program. We didn't have, but we did have. Bookstore. That came years later. Junior church. These are things on the perimeter that enhance the church for our people to do what God calls us to do and keep them informed. And then I had, in case I missed something, anything else. But I didn't know what the category was. I had missions, church outing, ball team. I tell the folks, this ball team was started for to reach people for Christ. It wasn't started just to have a ball team. It was started to reach people for Christ. And there's criteria these teams set up in those years that the person have to meet before they play on the ball team. And that was a hook in the water, you see. And then, of course, camp, which we have now. And isn't it a wonderful thing? Now our church is paying for camp for anyone who can go. That's just a few things that I looked in the book of Acts and asked God to help me look and establish in a church. Maybe God saw something here that most people can't see when they come and think this thing just happened. It didn't just happen. There's a lot of stuff that went on before us and God behind the scenes to understand what God is trying to do for us and do through us here. And so I Thank God Almighty, we come to the day after again, 1,380, close to $85,000 in these buildings, another close to $140,000 to $150,000 to begin with. We're talking about over $1.5 million that God has let us have to raise here, which in turn saved that much in a 12-year period, be over $3 million if you look at it like that through the years. And here's the thing, folks. Please understand this. Had it not been for two people's heart to want God's will, it would never happen. This would have never happened. Had it not been a desire to really want to be where God could use an individual, it would not happen. Had it not been, and I thought even last night late, had it not been that there was someone who desired, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, to obey God the best of my ability, to obey God the best of my ability. And I'll tell you this, there's a man that's in my life as a young man that taught me a lot about organization, and that's Max Stern, Brother Don's dad. He taught me because he was a manager, and he taught me a lot in those years about organization, handling things. His dad became an ordained preacher. I was with him when he was ordained years ago in a fundamental church over in the Sprague area. And there's basic things that you learn. You didn't even know you were learning, but you learned in those early years as you wanted to be used of God Almighty. Had it not been obedience for us to obey God in this direction, suppose we went to Ohio, suppose we went to another place like we thought about doing, no one would be here tonight. If we'd have went to Ohio, not one of you that I know of would have been here tonight at this scene. Now, I thought about that. If it had not been someone, if God is leading you, an obedient heart may cause people to be around you years later that God would give you because He blesses with people. And I thought about, if it had not been someone who would want to obey God, those working for Fellowship Baptist Church now wouldn't have a job with Fellowship Baptist Church. There would be no need for a sister pastor, another thing. It had not been somewhere, somebody back had a burden and was willing to obey God with that burden. The church would not be here. This did not just happen, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of hard work has been done, and God's people have fallen in line because they realized there was something special here and gave their all down through the years. Everybody here tonight is here for a purpose. And I believe God has given us a direction that we have a great responsibility in these last days. And I told the brethren tonight, I wish that God, I don't have much wisdom, but I wish that I had the wisdom when I was 20 years old that I have now. It may not be much more, but I wish I had it in hand. Because it's so much I feel I could do, my body won't let me do it now. But I want to be where God wants me to be. So what I thought tonight, before we have this note burning, we have a note. We're going to have the deacons come up and present this. And I thought about, we talked about getting the notes and burning them, but that's to drag out. The only thing I thought, we'd have symbolic of all the notes. And here's what we got. As of July the 5th, 2009, an indebtedness, all indebtedness for Fellowship Baptist Church, Clayton, North Carolina, has been paid in full. And this is what we're going to shred tonight in just a few minutes. Before we do that, though, I thought, Lord, it'd be nice if you'd go back and everybody could have a testimony. Go back, and I asked four people. I went back to begin with years ago, person who came with us, and still with us now, serving God. Then I came later to one person on staff who was with us in those early days and still with us now, even though it was a little delay between years. And then I came a little bit further to the board, and Johnny has been one on the board the longest of anyone here. And then I came to one of the latest members of our church. And so I want them to take just a moment now, and as they, from their viewpoint, looking at our church, give an observation of what they feel. And Sister Laura Langdon, I want her to come if she will and be the first one to do this tonight. And we'll get a spread. What is it that brought you here? What is it that God touched the heart about to let us see from beginning to the end, Sister Laura?
Been coming here. So when I got off the phone, I thought about it a minute. I said, how am I going to remember anything that happened 40 years ago? I can't even remember what happened last week.
Amen.
But anyway, so I put my brain in gear and I got to thinking about some of the things. I'll never forget the first time I walked into the dry cleaner's building. The person that came and invited me to church, he has passed away now. And I said, okay. I said, where is this place at? And he said, across from the barber shop. I said, you mean that cleaning building? He said, yeah. I said, I used to get my clothes cleaned there. He said, yeah, well, it's a church there now. I said, okay. So I went and walked in. It was a little side door. There were some chairs out and a little piano to the side. And there's a little platform and a podium up there. I thought to myself, is this a church?
Amen.
But when I sat down and Pastor Ennis started preaching, oh my, I've never heard preaching like this before. So I went back again that night, and because I hadn't been saved long. And I enjoyed that. I said, but I didn't particularly care for that building. And so anyway, they welcomed me to come back on Wednesday night. I said, you go to church on Wednesday night? I said, oh my, I didn't know anything about going to church on Wednesday night. I thought going to church on Sunday morning, just before I got saved, that was all you need to do, just go to church on Sunday morning. And so anyway, God touched my heart to join Fellowship Baptist Church. And I'm so glad that I did, because I would never dream that this would have happened.
That's right.
We'd gone from the building over yonder to here, and now tonight we stand debt free. I mean, it's a miracle of
yes,
God.
Yes, it is. It really is.
And I will have to say, Pastor Ennis, you are a wise man, a very wise man. And that's the reason we are debt free tonight.
Amen.
God used him. I believe Proverbs 3:5 tells us that trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And I believe Pastor Ennis did that, him and Miss Ennis. They trusted the Lord and leaned on him and not on themselves. And God led them along the way. And it is amazing some of the miracles that I have seen. The radio ministry, the land that we brought out where the mission house is on. Russell Beers sold us that house and land for hardly anything. He could probably get it three times, but God touched Russell Beard's heart, and I don't even know if he was a Christian or not. And he sold us that land. And many, many more things that happened here at Fellowship. And most of all, the most important of all, when I say Pastor Ennis is a wise man, because he was a soul winner, and he taught soul winning. And when the first few months of going to that dry cleaner's building, I learned more in those few months in listening to him and the Bible and everything. I mean, I've learned things along the way, but just in those few months, I learned so much about the Bible. And I think it helped me to get established so that I will be able to do things for the Lord.
Yes.
And and I never forget, we had a soul clinic, soul winning class one time. And he didn't have anybody to teach it, so he done it himself. And he told us, I remember this, he says, memorize the Roman road. You don't never know one day when the Bible will be taken away from you and you'll have it in your mind.
Yes.
And you can still lead someone to the Lord. And I did that. I learned those verses, the Roman road to salvation. And I know every one of them by heart. I could don't even have to take my Bible and I can sit down and lead someone to the Lord.
Yeah.
And he taught me that.
Amen.
And many, many other things. And it's important when you're young to memorize. Young folks, memorize the Word of God. Because when you get my age, you can't do it. I'm sorry. It's hard. these young people in junior church, they'll come up and they know the Bible verse and they'll say it to me. And I have to sometimes go and look and make sure they said it right in the Bible, because my memory has gone. And so it's important that you learn things when you are young. And that's Pastor Ennis dwelled it in our hearts when we were going to church there. And I saw many miracles performed, and only God could have done it.
That's right.
And, you know, God tells us to trust and obey Him. And then when we trust and obey Him, He turns around and blesses us. And that's what Pastor Ennis did, him and Miss Ennis. They stepped out by faith, and they obeyed God, and they listened to Him. And then look what God turned around and done. But He knew the kind of man that Pastor Ennis was. And so He used this man to do what he done. And I'm not only saying this tonight, Pastor Ennis, in front of you, but I tell everybody that you're one of the wisest men with finances I have ever met in my life. How we done all those bond programs, it blows my mind away. But God used him, and we done it. And I am so glad that when the Lord spoke my heart and said, become a member of Fellowship Baptist Church, I'm glad I did. Amen. Because I'd rather be here than anywhere else in the world other than heaven.
Amen.
I know this is my home here, and I love everybody in here. Mm. And you know what? God also had to use the body of the church, too, as tithers, because the money had to come from somewhere.
That's right. That's
so
right.
He used all of us, too. And y'all being faithful, we all being faithful and giving to the Lord's work helped pay for all these
Amen.
Bills. And so here we stand tonight, debt-free. And I like that, because I do not like to owe anybody anything. And this is good. I love being debt-free.
Amen.
I'll never forget when I paid off my car last year. I said, thank you, Lord. I do not like to owe people. And so this is a wonderful thing that we're celebrating tonight, that we do not owe anybody anything.
Amen.
It's just great.
Amen.
And I'm glad I'm part of a Fellowship Baptist Church. And I'm glad I know Barbara Ennis and Pastor Ennis.
Amen.
Barbara Ennis, she's the same person she was 40-some years ago. And I love you dearly.
Hey, thank you, Sister.
And what a joy it is to see people who started serving the Lord and still doing it.
Still doing it.
Thank God for that. The second person I asked to come from the staff standpoint, since Sister Betty was with us, and then she for one time had to leave a little while, and then she came back. But as far as the overall, and from a working standpoint, I want her to come, if you will, Sister, and say a few words on behalf of the staff. Everybody could say something, but we don't have time for everybody, so I just looked at the ones that approach it different ways. Sister Betty.
Well, I came to this church in 1973, just me and my young son, my oldest son, Larry, from a church that was having a lot of problems. And the first Sunday I walked into that building up there, you could feel God here. Mm-hmm. I had not been feeling that where I was before. And my training in the past paid off when Pastor said he needed a secretary.
Mm.
And that was just something that I had always wanted to do, work in ministry somehow. And I've seen a lot of things happen.
Yes, you have.
A lot of good things happen in this church. And I've watched a lot of children grow up to be adults and have children, and some have grandchildren. So it's been my pleasure to be your secretary all these years. Thank you so much.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you.
And then I thought another aim for the angle, not only from the staff working here, but from the board. And Brother John asked him to come and say a few words on that path, since he's been on the longest one as far as on the board is concerned.
Hi, I'm Johnny, and I'm a Christian. And that's probably the most important thing I could say.
Amen.
May it be true. Well, I thank God for a preacher and Miss Ennis for coming here and starting a church. But they didn't just start a church and go play golf. And they wanted to start a New Testament fundamental Bible believing church. They won souls, and then they taught their converts to win souls. There was a church on every corner, so to speak. But this is the only one that came and knocked on my door. Mm. I thank God for Raymond and Helen Jones.
Yes, brother. Yes.
Faithful soul winners.
Yes.
Raymond went out every Thursday night with the determination to win somebody to the Lord before
sure
he came back.
Sure did.
He was always the last one to come back. But if no one, nobody was here in that door, he went to the next door, the next door. And the night he came to my door, I think I was the third one he went to. And I thought it was a salesman who invited him in. Then I saw those Bibles, and I was nervous as a cat. See, I didn't go to church. 24, college graduate. They say a college graduate, they get saved by the time they're 25, they won't get saved. Statistically, it's very low. I just got in. But he was an excellent soul winner. He knew I was nervous, so he talked about other stuff for I don't know how long for me to calm down to say anything about church. And then he asked me, if you died tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And I said, yes. He said, where? And I said, hell. And even after admitting it, I didn't want to hear anything he had to say. He was an excellent soul when he went through the plan of salvation. Didn't phase this old boy. And then he kept on and kept on and kept on. He was and finally hit the verse and God rang my bell. And we knelt and that couch in lot 8 of Troy Lee's trailer park. And
amen.
Got saved.
Amen,
we came
God.
Sunday morning. That was July 24, 1975. Two
Praise
weeks from today would be my 34th spiritual birthday.
Amen.
We came to, he told us we were supposed to come and walk the aisle, and Satan tried everything short of killing us to keep us from getting here. We came with a young adult Sunday school class. And in between Sunday school and church, nothing going on, no music, no nothing. And I felt the presence of God as a newborn, as a newborn babe in Christ. And then he prepared a table before me to feed on the Word of God. Not hors d'oeuvres, not some little finger food, some little sweet, delicate dainties that with no nutrition and even the sweet taste would be gone by the time you leave the door. But solid, nutritious food, wholesome food, milk, wholesome milk for the new baby in Christ to grow. And then the bread of the Word of God to sustain me when I went through those doors out into the world, and I'd come Sunday and be hidden low by Wednesday and come back and get filled up again, and then by Sunday I'm ready for another fill up. And then later onto the meat of the Word of God, and you get to know God. And you get the strength for the battle. And I've been eating at this table for almost 34 years. And the food gets better.
Better, preacher.
Brother. Amen.
Amen.
As far as finances, been on the board. This is my 8th consecutive 4-year term will expire at the end of this year. I'll be on the board 32 consecutive years. And in those early days, I mean, this place, we were just poor folks. I didn't get here in the beginning, got here in 75, but nobody had any money. They just, whoever they led to the Lord, and here we were, and a bunch of blue-collar folks. And even years later, after my children were born and they were old enough to remember, we would go out to Tasty Freeze or Hardee's maybe once or twice a year, but we couldn't afford it. We were poor, dirt poor. And then got on the board a couple of years after I got here, and finances had to be a lot of focus because there was no money. We literally watched pennies pennies, but determined to be honorable, pay our debts, have a financial testimony with the banks and in the community, the Fellowship Baptist Church would pay its bills. And for us to have, I mean, you could tell which ladies attended church regularly. We had a big gravel, deep gravel parking lot. And the gravel would strip off the ends of their high heel shoes, and they couldn't afford to buy any more. You could see who was faithful by looking at their shoes. Kid you not. That's the way it was. Poor people that love God is what I tell people. We're just a bunch of poor people that love God.
Amen.
Folks, this is a miracle. It's a miracle. I mean, every year at the after Christmas and tax time is like, what are we going to cut out? You know, it's crunch time every year. And we've had, I know at least one instant where a family came one time and they never came back because of the ladies' restroom. Wasn't up to their standard. We did what we could do, what we had. And to have this, it truly is a miracle. But Dr. Lee Robertson made the statement many years ago, everything rises and falls on leadership. And the physical reputation of this church isn't because we had a bunch of financial geniuses on the board. It's because of the leadership of our pastor. Pure and simple. It's his wisdom, his leadership, just like Moses was prepared by growing up in Pharaoh's household and the military training and all that, when God was preparing him to lead a few million whiners through the wilderness, gave him the training for that, and God prepared him and his job and business and other places to do stuff. You know, they said sin will take you farther down, farther than you ever thought you would go. But I believe our pastor can say God will take you farther up. Mm-hmm. I mean, farther than you ever thought you would go. So God showed him this back when he called him to preach, he'd have probably had a heart attack.
Amen. Amen.
But it says everything, Lee Robertson says everything rises and falls on leadership. Fellowship is still rising. Amen. But I wanted to kind of end. But see, you weren't there. Most of you weren't. And so you really can't go back to that. And you don't want to. We're here. We go from here forward. And we have a job to do. Nobody, no other church but this one came by my door. And number of times through the years, I've had people, and somebody recently said, I've lived here for X number of years, and you're the first person from a church that's ever knocked on my door. Mm. This church was built, and I borrow his chart. Mm. This church was built on soul winning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This building and this finance is a miracle. But the greater miracle is me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the hundreds of other people that have been led to the Lord and will be in heaven. Some already are because of the ministry of this church. Winning people to the Lord and teach them to win people to the Lord. And we have a job to do. There's some other people like me that are out there that need to be saved.
Amen.
They won't come to church. If you go see them, they won't want to hear what you got to say. But when they get saved, they'll be eternally grateful.
Yes, they will.
And they'll come and join in, and they'll join in to work with you, and they'll love you, and they'll love the church, and they'll love our Lord.
Amen.
So I want to end with this poem I wrote a few years ago. Most of you heard it, some haven't. It's called Sunday Morning. Here we sit in church today, all dressed in Sunday best. But in our hearts, the inmost parts, are all our sins confessed? Are we clinging to some vice, a sin that doth beset? Have we presented Christ our body, our heart, our all, our best, holy, acceptable unto God, available for his quest? Or have we told him, me first, Lord, I've things I want to do. I love this vice, this weight, this sin. I won't give it up for you. Do our hearts turn on every word, power from the Lord? Or do we sit and squirm and state, I am so very bored? Do our hearts yearn for heaven's dew to quench our thirsty soul? Or does it bounce off hearts of stone, indifferent and so cold? Lord, I need to hear from you. That's why I came today. A touch from God is what I need to help me now, today. Comfort and encouragement, or scolding some wrong deed. Whatever you give me, Lord, will be exactly what I need. May we leave prepared to live a holy life for thee, and heed your call, take up thy cross, come and follow me.
Amen. Amen, John. Amen.
And then for the last person I was thinking about, somebody who'd been in our church recently in the last few weeks and months, and so I asked Brother Josh Mullen if he'd come, and what is it God let him see, and what he's seen since he's been here for just a few minutes. We'll be here much longer, believe me. So I look at your watch, but we won't be here much longer. Amen.
Yeah, just another 55 minutes, that's about all it'll be. But it's been a real blessing to hear the testimonies tonight and to see what God has done in this church. And I grew up in the church, and I didn't get saved until I was about 16, but grew up in a church, a large church back home in Rochester, New York. And the church that we attended, it was hard for us to leave. We thought to ourselves, man, we're gonna leave a great church. Mm-hmm. We're going to leave a great church. And it's such a privilege. Man, you don't understand how much of a privilege it is to be in a great church. Mm-hmm. And it brings tears to my eyes because there's not a whole lot of great churches That's today, right. guys and girls. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of churches that are willing to give it all for mm-hmm. this book. There's not a lot of churches that are willing to sacrifice. And I wrote a little something down. Obedience is sacrifice. Preacher mm-hmm. is a perfect example of true obedience. His wife, a perfect example of obedience. The sacrifice that they gave, the sacrifice that they were willing to lay everything out on the line, to walk out on that limb, to trust the Lord. And look how he blesses. I think that we are very fortunate to be, as members of this church, to see God's hand. It's just amazing to me. It's just amazing to me. So we were afraid. Leaving our home, what church will we find? We visited a few churches. They're funny out there. This one church we went to, we went a couple times. I thought, wow, this might be the church. It might be the church. So we're sitting in, and they open up with a communion. It must have been that time when we were there, and they start passing around, and they had like Wonder Bread in the plate. And I said to myself, "What? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What? If you're gonna do one thing wrong, you're doing it all wrong. There's just no compromise." Mm-hmm. I wanted to come to a church where I was taught, where I was preached to, where I was convicted. I'm not about a feel-good church. Let's hear the band play. I'm about a church that's going to preach God's word.
Amen.
And that is what you get here. So when I came to this church after visiting four other churches, a bunch of junk church, but when I came here and I heard the word of God preached, my wife and I, we looked at each other in the car and said, "What do you think?" She goes, "I like that." We don't come here for the programs, folks.
Amen.
Amen. It's not about the programs. It's about God himself. Mm. It's about the word of God. Mm-hmm. I want to read a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 1:18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." It is the power of God for us who mm-hmm. are saved. Mm-hmm. That's where you want to be. You want to be under the preaching of the cross. If you look at 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Mm-hmm. Man, that's what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts. We want Him to change our lives. And what a glorious wonder that we could partake in the sacrifice and the obedience of Christ here. Mm. It's just a great thing. I do want to say that we did come here not because Ken paid us off. Ken didn't pay us much, so we didn't come here for that. But we came here for the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God being preached. And it was a great opportunity to come from Lighthouse in New York, where the Word of God is preached, and to find that same Word of God being preached here in, how do you say it, North Carolina? Carolina? I'm going to run real fast after this. But it's the same God we serve.
Yes,
amen.
It is,
it's
brother.
It's the same God we serve. And it's just a real blessing that we could be here, me and my family, and being part of this family. And just coming to love this family, this church family.
Yes.
And being under the same King.
Amen. Amen.
That's just what it's all about. Amen. I just want to say thank you.
God bless you, brother. Appreciate you, brother. Amen. And, of course, I'm sure there's many others who would love to give testimony, and we thank you for that. But if you would stand together and turn your Bible to Psalms 150, I want to read this out loud together. There's 6 verses in this song, and then we'll have the finish of the service tonight. Get your Bibles together. Are you ready? Psalms 150, the last psalm. And we'll read together. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the string instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You may be seated. What we want to do is take tonight, the deacon come up, and for the final act, and that's all this is, instead of burning, we shred. Now, we used to burn everything, but now it's a hazard about fire. We decided we'd just shred this. Now, these fellows get close enough by on each side, and I don't know, can you get it as we put... This is, again, this says of July the 5th, 2009, indebtedness for Fellowship Baptist Church, all indebtedness for Fellowship Baptist Church, Clayton, North Carolina, has been paid in full. Our Father, we want to thank you again tonight for the blessings of God. Lord, nothing happens without the sanction of God's blessing. We understand that. This would be impossible without you. And dear Father, then that means no one person can do what's done. That means that there has to be a collective of people. And since Lord said tonight, many folks have trusted you and have given to the cause of Christ through fellowship that we may do the things. Lord, and if we will focus on you, this church can do greater things in the future. With the basis been laid now, Lord, we can reach the world with the radio, with the internet that John is working on. Lord, our message heard all around the world. We get calls sometimes from people who go across the internet and listen to the message now. John did a report on the places that we hit hits in our on the internet, dear Lord, and it's all over the world. We thank you for that. And we pray again that you would continue to bless this place. Now, I realize, dear Father, I made a promise to you years ago, and I promised this church that I never leave it while it's in debt. And I meant that through the years. I'd do without, sacrifice everything that's needed. And so when my wife
until it was paid out of debt. Now we have the chance to move forward. Still need to be wise, dear Lord. We can look for projects now and invest in those projects for the glory of God by money ahead of time rather than having to wait and pay it off in the past. So help your people not quit giving because we're out of debt. It takes a lot to run this place now. And so we pray that people continue to give to you. And then anything this church needs to do that God would impress our hearts to do, our Father, we pray that they would see that. And then years ago when we couldn't borrow money, now people are calling us all the time trying to get us to borrow money. And the Lord, if we can do what we've done this far, we don't need to go borrowing a lot of money to do something for the church when we trust you for it in these days, especially now with times like they are. Thank you for the people of our church. Thank you, Lord, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we praise you for this special event, and we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? Thank you for being here tonight and sharing this with us. And now, again, there's a lot of things ahead that's going to happen, I'm sure. God's going to lead, and whoever it is that, and they, I look around, I see some folks that are getting old like I am, and we know the day is going to come that if the Lord does not come back, we know the day is going to come that someone else will take the rings one day, and we need to be sure of the focus that God would help us, and I hope I stay as long as I can, but again, pray that God will literally, that people will get along with Him and want His desire and His will more than anything else in this world. And if that happens, God will preserve this place. He's not brought it here for it to be destroyed. Amen? Amen. Folks, have a great night. Again, Lord, we thank you again for our board. We thank you, Lord, for our staff. We thank you for our members. We thank you, Lord, together we've collectively come before you. No individual can do this by themselves. So we join hands together before you. Lord, we praise thy holy name. We give you honor and we give you glory. We come to the throne of grace and plead the blood that gives us access to the great God of this universe, who's our Father. And our Father, we know through the years we're in flesh that in times doesn't get everything just like it ought to be. We know sometimes that our will may get ahead of your will. Sometimes we become impatient. But you've taught us some things through the years. And I pray together, the body of believers, from the pastor down to the person in the pew and each organization, every teacher, every assistant teacher, every bus worker, Lord, for those who you have given us to be able to accomplish that which you laid on our heart to establish the church years ago, I'm overwhelmed, Lord, that how you give us men and women who are willing to go the extra mile and be what they need to be through the church. We believe in the local New Testament church, Father. You established that. Jesus set forth the instructions for it, and God, the Holy Spirit, give instructions through Paul to set it up. And we believe that still through the local church that God works. And dear Father, give us that wisdom to understand your will until you call us home. And our Father, what a joy to be to stand before you one day and look back, and we'll see things that God accomplished, the Lord, we can't imagine now. For there's so much going on when we obey you that you do sometimes we don't even see. But dear Father, what we see, the symptoms of your blessings, we know there's many others that we'll see when we get to heaven one day. Bless every one of the members of our church. Many of the folks who started with us years ago have gone on to be with you now in glory, and we miss them. But we know and look forward to that day coming when there'll be a reuniting. Bless our people this week where they go. Lord, there are some people that still hurting. They need jobs. They need help. And we know you understand that. And we know we're going to focus on you. We're going to praise you no matter what the circumstances, because our God is able to do beyond anything we could think or imagine. Again, thank you for this night. You get the praise, you get the honor, you get the glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.